Who'd have the tricks? Just shift the ball left, said Billy Ake. A 71-year-old record would be levelled. The Fox had a night out. He picked up six.
Loading up left to the Fox.
All right, they go left to the Fox. There's Munster. Goes out the back now to Hines. Throws long. Olam stopped on a dive.
Here he goes! He's got six! He's got it!
The Fox has got his sixth. Count them all. You'll need a second hand to do it. Six tries in the game. He can't believe it, Fox. Justin Olam stopped and then he rang back to the Fox to give him a try assist.
The Premier's set the benchmark. They kept the Sharks to nil versus their 50. But the Panthers purred hard. They made it 9 from 9 to start the year. Now that's pretty nifty.
Wouldn't be surprised if they go to their right a fair bit tonight.
They go that way now. They look from here. Coach Cleary plays flat out the back to Edwards.
There you go.
He finds Charlie Staines. And Charlie Staines dives over untouched. They've been up there twice. They've scored twice. The Panthers 10. Kick to come. Lead the Sharkies nil. 12 gone in the first half. Finally, we see one on the left-hand side is my prediction. Left-hand side, Cleary. He dummies away. Here's Luai. Luai looks for Burton. Burton scores. Well, Burton scores a try. It came from Luai and the left centre for Penrith. You can mark it down nearly every week. Luai is a freak. They score the try. The Panthers 22 points to nil. And another Western Sydney team was flying. The Eels had a big win over the Chooks. But another talking point that ended up the talk of the town. Drew Hutchison got a whack to the ribs. Then trending on Twitter was young Dylan Brown.
Look, I don't know how they're going to judge that, but we couldn't even replace Drew with a free interchange because it wasn't even on report at that stage. They looked at it 10 times and they couldn't find anything. And then they had all of half time, and then we run out in the field and they say it's on report now. They could have told us 10 minutes in, so I could have changed it in the dressing room, but they told us as we were running out on the field. So I had to make a split-second change as soon as we ran out on the field. It's ridiculous.
Plenty to talk to on crunch time here. Thanks to Red Rooster and Isuzu. Who would be a villain? Who'd be a hero? To help us guide us through the next couple of hours, I'm joined by Finchie and the big man, Ciro. G'day, boys.
Good afternoon, Joel. Nice to see you. Hello, Finchie.
How you going, Ciro?
You
too,
really
mate.
Well.
Ready to rock and roll, boys. Plenty to talk about. He was fired up there, the great Robbo. Yeah. You called the match last night, Finchie. Yeah,
he does. He's got every right to, mate. It's just crazy. You know, you don't want to be banging on about referees, but even Ciro, the first try they ruled no try, and it was a try.
Yeah.
Then they said Campbell Gillard put it down and he got held up. You know, like the amount of captain's challenges that are being successful, you know. And, you know, all week we talk about concussions and looking after players. That's as good as an old-fashioned knees in the back, as you've seen. And Robbo was right. They looked at it 10, 12 times and still couldn't get it. But the Eels were too good. They were the better team. But, yeah, it was a tough night for the Chooks.
We want you to be part of the show. 1300 01 1170. You can text any time. 0457 736 736. This is Crunch Time with thanks to Red Rooster and Isuzu. Red Rooster's new crunchy fried chicken available at selected restaurants. Delicious, crunchy, new fried chicken by Red Rooster. Available at selected restaurants. The Rooster's calling. Ciro, I want to start with this. Now, we have the technology these days and we go up there for the bunker and we're looking at tries. But why can't we implement something where the whole world knew within about 5 minutes that Dylan Brown was going to be charged? You've got the charge sheet there and he's looking at about 3 weeks. Is that right?
Yeah, well, yeah. Certainly. Somebody should tip the referee up too. I'll be honest. I saw that one. I didn't see the Tedesco in the lead-up to that play where Hutchinson copped the knees. I didn't see Tedesco get whacked either. Because that was a late pass. So, and I don't know if the officials were looking at, did Tedesco offload and got hit high rather than the Hutchinson incident. But I mean, there's enough of them, mate. There's two touches. Yeah. The referee, the blokes in the bunker. So someone's got to be tipping them up, don't they?
Well, my point is this: why can't we have something where the whole world knew within a few minutes that he was going to be charged, and ultimately has? And if he goes to the panel and loses it, he's going to cop 4 weeks. So he's not going to challenge that. He'll cop the early plea, we think, and he'll cop 3 weeks. So why can't we, with technology, if the whole world knows that, why can't we go, okay, well, you know what? We've had a chance to digest this and look this through. Why can't we then put him on report? And what that would mean is that Joseph Suwali can come into the contest. But why can't we use this technology and not spoil the game?
Of course. And Ciro's right. If it's in the run of play and something in the backfield and they miss it, understandably. But this was replayed a dozen times right before half time. And then there was half time and there was a penalty goal kick before half time. It was 15 minutes. Yeah. You know, like, it's got nothing to do with technology. How do you miss it? And like Siri said, there's half a dozen of them there that could have made a decision. It's just crazy. You know, absolute insanity how no one picked it up. And poor old Hutchinson, he's rolling around in agony. Yeah. You know, so it's not like he's got up and no one said, like, it's plain as day for everyone to see. So things like that, you know, like sometimes it's in the game so quick, you can't expect them to pick everything up, understandably.
Yeah.
But something like that, it's a really bad look that they've missed it.
Yeah. I'm with you, Joel. I think now with the 18th man's sub on the bench, if they find the act of foul play, and they've spoken about it down at headquarters, they've spoken about bringing a player into the game. I think we saw it a couple of weeks ago. But on the review of that, they should have got it right, and Sawale should have been added to the Roosters bench after half time.
So what happens as a result of this? Next week, Parramatta take on the Warriors. The Warriors will face Parramatta more than likely without Dylan Brown. So it's the Warriors who win out of all of this.
Exactly.
The Roosters don't. They won't have Drew Hutchison. They didn't have him for that game. They don't use Sawale. And my point around this, gentlemen, is that we've got the technology, and I've mentioned that. However, wouldn't you rather get it right, even if you're 5 or 6 minutes late, than not get it right at all?
Well, not. I think Trent Robbo said it. You know, it was 15, 20 minutes after the fact that they said, "Oh, he's on report after half time." So that's no relief to the Roosters now. No. This morning, is it? So.
And the big thing too was which amplifies it is Radley. He leaves the game early, so they're down to one or two men on the bench. So to have that extra man, Sawale be allowed to or be activated was a huge moment in the game. But obviously, you know that was missed as well.
So in that final play, or in that play that leads up to Drew Hutchison leaving the field, and we'll get an update on him throughout the coverage as well here over the next couple of hours. By the way, we'll follow this up with SEN 1170. We'll call the game this afternoon at 3 p.m. We're out at Wagga, where it's the Knights taking on the Canberra Raiders. So it is base points of, well, if guilty at the panel, Dylan Brown, he's going to cop 4 weeks. Early plea gets him 3 weeks for the dangerous contact on Drew Hutchison. Now, the shot, high tackle, which he's copped a few of these in recent weeks, James Tedesco, Murata Nakore, if he takes the early plea, 245 points, therefore 2 weeks. If he's guilty at the panel, 3 weeks. So it is likely, based on what we've seen, that both those men take an early plea, which means Nakore's out for 2 weeks, Brown's going to be out for 3 weeks, but both of those at no advantage to the Roosters. Both at no advantage of the Roosters. Moving on from that, Finchie, Mitchell Moses and Sam Walker. What do you make of where they're at with things?
Yeah, I thought it was a good performance from both men. Obviously, Mitchell, I thought he controlled the game really well. I thought Parramatta were really patient. To the Roosters' credit, you know, and it's an example for a lot of teams when things go against a lot of teams these days in the NRL, that's the white flag comes up pretty easy and a truckload of points seem to be scored. But the Roosters, the way they fought, the way they scrambled, was really good. But Parramatta didn't overplay it. I thought they stayed patient. I thought they were always in control of the game. But Mitchell's kicking game was really good and didn't overplay his hand. You know, I think at times he can get a little sideways with it, Mitchell, instead of sticking through the middle. But I thought he did that really well last night. Young Walker didn't get many opportunities. And for the Roosters, a lot of injuries, but a lot of errors too, wasn't there? So he didn't get many chances, but...
He looks a bit busted now, Sam Walker. I think he's had now for 5 or 6 games and with the big boys, and it's just starting to catch up with him a little bit. So.
But he still had a beautiful pass. To be able to pull that out when you've had no momentum or no opportunities, he's a talented kid, but you're right. Now that they're down on troops, it adds more pressure to a young kid. You're right, Sarah.
Gentlemen, not often you see a player make 70 tackles defending 4 in, and why was that? Because Nat Butcher was the security guard of young Walker. That shows where they were targeting. They were going at him all night, weren't they?
Yeah, some sort of game, Nat Butcher. Really good for the Roosters. Yeah, he's outstanding.
Ciro, where are you at with both these packs? So they lose Lindsay Collins, who's, you know, absolute class. They've had so many injury concerns, the Roosters. Are they done? Are they plucked? As for Parramatta, do you see enough in their forward pack to guide them to glory town?
Well, there's a couple of key ingredients you want for your forward pack, Joel. You want size, want speed, power and skill. And I think Parramatta's got that in bucket loads, you know, with Paulo up front and big Reggie. And then they've, you know, they need change too. And there's a couple of really good redemption stories there with Papali'i and Bryce Cartwright. He's come back to some sort of form, hasn't he, Bryce, which is great to see. So, and then, you know, without Nathan Brown last night too, is arguably one of their best running forwards in the ruck. But, no, he's done a great job. You know, Hipgrave came in and did his job. Kafusi off the bench. So they're rolling along. The Parramatta Pack's right up there. Yeah, Ryan Madison too. He's had several weeks out, but he's a class player too.
Oh, so. The ball he threw out to Fergo. Mm. Now, Finchie, just with Parramatta, my observations are I believe they can win the comp. However, I feel as though I can't see Moses and Brown, who I rate both individually as players, but I can't see them together taking a team to the premiership. I feel as though Parramatta need to do what the Raiders did with Jack White and move Gutherson into the halves with Moses, but then you need a strike fullback, don't you?
Yeah, I think that they're a good team. They're a good top four team, and they've been that for a few years. Really consistent, good defence. Like Ciro mentioned there, they've added pieces to the puzzle over the last few years. Madison's won that, and that pack's really good, really well balanced. Now, I'm the same. I just don't know if they've got, you know, that Latrell-type player or a Pappenhausen. So that X factor that can, you know, in those big games, that can just break it open with some individual play. That's the only knock on them. Other than that, they've got two big wingers that get out of trouble. Well, their backfield's great. Gutherson's a great leader. He's relentlessly on the ball. His energy's terrific. Papali'i, he's been fantastic for him as well. So
great pickup.
I think they're a better team than they were last year. But again, it's do they have that X factor to break out, you know, a big game open, or, you know, that bit of strike that, you know, like Pappenhausen did in the grand final, go the length from a scrum, or like Latrell did in against Canberra, got the ball and put Tupou away for the match winner to Tedesco. So we'll soon see, but they're a really good side, Parramatta, and they'll be thereabouts at the end of the year.
Ciro, I assume you'll still be involved in the Blues camp. Have you pretty much, I know you haven't got anything to do with selections, but do you pretty much pen in Junior Paulo?
I think so, yeah. He'll certainly be one of the middles, I think, from last year's series. He'll be there for sure, I would say. But I think Freddie and Brandy and the Brains Trust, Fitzy and Bedsy, all those blokes are talking on a weekly basis, you know, and getting closer and closer to selection. So it's just up to the boys to keep their form up and stay healthy is a big thing too, mate. There's so many blokes out, but your big juniors, I'd say it'd be a shoe-in for one of the middles.
Ciro, you were part of, like, so when I was growing up, so the 92, 93, 94 Blues team, I think that's the best era we've ever had. You were a part of those teams. It was virtually the same squad for 3 years.
It was.
You know, there might have been one or two changes on the bench, you know, but it was virtually the same squad. How big, and maybe how much, if you know, how much Freddie relies on combination, but how important was it as a player, do you remember back then, coming into camp, you know, that the same players, whether not only from your own team, but, you know, you've played with these guys.
Are we familiar? I mean, we're really familiar with each other too. And it was a really, really close bond too, Finchie. So that's, again, underlying everything. You need that, like, guys are good on well. You know, that sort of balance of you know, mateship too. That's a key ingredient. But, it was great because you had three or four blokes from the Raiders, and then we had, you know, there was Chief and Lazo, Robbo, you know, Bradley Clyde, myself and Benny from the Tigers, you know. So it was a really good, you know, good core of blokes. But, over those 3 years, it as you said, mate, didn't change too much. A couple of guys, you know, through injury came in and out. But I would say Gus, over from 92 to 94, probably had – used 20 players, maybe 21 players over the nine games in that whole time. So it's really important.
Taking your calls, 1300 01 11 70, text line 0457 736 736. Gents, question for you guys. Had Dylan Brown got on report, or would he have got on report if Drew Hutchison got straight up? I say no. What do you think, Lordy?
Oh, I think it's definitely knees in the back. You know, sometimes when you're diving in to make the tackle, the knees can contact first, but you're coming down on top of the play, you know, but there's no doubt it was knees in the back. I thought, you know, if he gets up, who knows what would have happened, but he certainly didn't get up. I just love the Josh Morris. Did you see what the legs?
trying to get air in the lung. A punctured lung.
I tell you what, I'm no expert on medical advice, but pumping the legs in and out ain't going to help three broken legs, ribs and a punctured lung. J-Boss, what are you doing? Don't touch him. You are not qualified to fix a broken
ribs. It was like under 8s where you used to get winded and you used to pump your legs.
Let him go. Don't touch him, J-Moss.
So what about that? They'll be looking for jobs for J-Moss after his career, and it'll be Medico.
He won't be a trainee.
I tell you what.
Just take that off the list.
Lucky he didn't get near his brother last week. Don't go near injured players, J-Moss. Pumping his legs in and out. He's got three broken legs and his lungs are collapsing.
Oh, you got to pump it up. yes, brilliant stuff. Hello, gents. These blowout scores and also massive scorelines tell me the rule changes are working. 49 points a game so far this weekend. Last year we copped it because we missed it, but it's not footy anymore. It's Oztag 2020 cricket and Finchie something. Big Charlie.
Sorry, mate. I booked him here.
Right. Is the game becoming like Oztag 2020 cricket?
I think it is, mate. We look at the for and against, you know, like Parramatta, Penrith and the Eels, Storm, Penrith are 200.
Already differential. Which,
that's a great season after 26 rounds. Yeah. Parramatta are 136, Storm are 184. And then you go to the Dragons, who are six. They're only four. And then from seventh down, they're all in the minuses.
Yeah.
So that's a big concern. Eighth place, Titans. They've won three and lost five, so they're two games under 500.
Trivia question for you, boys. 1300 01 1170, and you can text us 0457 736 736. Finchie may be listening to you, unless he's having a private conversation.
I've got my mate in the ear, and I'm turning around, I'm looking at things.
So how quirky is this, boys? Round 9, 2020. Mm-hmm. So this time last year, I know the timing's probably a little bit different due to COVID, but round 9, 2020, Charlie Staines debuts. He's since played 11 games. Now, he debuted against the Sharks, and guess what? He scored four tries. So round 9, 2021, the corresponding round this year, he plays the Sharks again, scores three tries in that same round. So that's his 11th game. He's now scored 12 tries in 11 games, seven against the Cronulla Sharks. Here's the trivia question. Of those seven tries, how many did he get a finger laid on him?
None?
Awesome.
One. Is it?
One. Six of the seven tries, he's just strolled over untouched.
Oh, I should have been a winger. I knew that. Hey? Fair digger. Hey?
Well, Seth was saying last night, he said, imagine like you're growing up and you're in Forbes and you're ultimately going to become the Forbes Ferrari and people say, oh, it's tough, the old NRL. And he's just walking over, putting tries down.
It's nice, isn't it? A bit like Ciro in the 89 grand final, no one can catch him.
Charging.
Right.
Different result.
You know, every time I call his boys and they make a little semi-break or a line break, I want to automatically say, Sarinan charging for the line. it immediately comes into my head.
Yeah, it's a nice play to be in. And you know what it is like with wingers? And Ciro, you'll back this up, especially even more so when you played in your era. As a half or an outside back, you're going to have tough days, but you know you're going to have a day where everything goes good and you're going to might get a man in the match or you might score some tries. For a forward, every week's the same.
Yeah.
Even when you win by 80, you still got to get in there and take it up and get bashed and bash them. So it'd be nice to sit on the end of that back line, especially a team like Penrith, how well they're playing.
Is James Fisher-Harris the best forward in the game at the moment, Ciro?
Well, I was actually in Bathurst last week, and there's several blokes up there who've got a man crush on.
Oh, yeah.
James Fisher-Harris, but boy, what a player. He's he's a leader and he looks fearsome and he leads that Penrith pack from the front. And I think he ran, you know, he had great metres last night too, and, you know, for running for the Panthers, mate. But he's a special sort of player, isn't he?
Boys, it looks like a race in two and right now. But the only reason why I could possibly entertain a team that's not named Penrith or Melbourne winning this competition is the fact that it's in May. Competitions aren't in May. Mm. Who's the team for both of you right now, if you had to jump on board, be part of their staff and hopefully win that premiership ring, that you'd want to be part of? Is it Penrith? Is it Melbourne? Is it other?
Oh, I'd say Melbourne.
Still Melbourne.
Yeah, you know, like and Melbourne have been up since 2003, so you don't have to worry about them being ready in October. You know, but I mean, the big one with Penrith, the streak's amazing. Or just not even a streak, the consistency of, 25 from 26. But again, and we've harped on, the one they lost is the one that matters, you know. And the longer it goes, they've got that pressure. Mm. You know, the pressure's going to build externally and internally, you know, to capitalise on such dominance. But, you know, the Rabbitohs, once they get some troops back, they'll be hard to beat. Even what you've seen the Storm do last year, they got to the GF and you're leading 20-0 at half time, you know, it's all but over. So, I haven't been under Craig. I couldn't pass him up. I'd stick with Bellyache.
Yeah, well, it's a race in two, and I know it's only early May, but I think, you know, you, But the other 14 sides could go to Hawaii for a trip away now. Yeah. If I wanted to, we could just sort of fast forward to September. And but yeah, they are. And I'm gonna want to rip out an old cliche. You've got to lose one to win one, boys. So the Penny Panthers, I think they're just doing everything right, and they love each other's company. You can just see that how much they celebrate each other's. You know, like Isaac, who scored a try last night. Fisher Harris broke his 50 game try scoring duck. So he's, you know, just the closest of that playing group up there. And mate, they love playing footy together. Mm. And mate, I think they're losing last year will play in their minds a bit when the time comes. So yeah, they won't want to taste that again. So
you see, Ciro's right. How much they celebrate tries. Geez, you'd be worried if you crossed the stripe and you got up and no one was running in to jump all over you.
Oh, yeah. Just,
they're celebrating every try like it's a match winner in a grand final. Maybe you got up and you just get a couple of little high fives. Go, hang on, boys. Where's the celebrations?
Can you? I know we shared this the other week on Crunch Time, or may have been driver Joel and Fletch, but can you please retell the story you told about Jamie Ainscough at the Knights? And this is at a time when you would have been familiar with Ciro, probably playing at the time where the Raiders were so dominant, where you look at them on the team sheet and almost talk yourself out of it.
Yeah, I remember being down there, I was ball boy, and that's old Bruce Stadium. Remember you had to go down the stairs? And Eric Cox, the timekeeper. Now, Canberra didn't
Sergeant
win down...
Schultz.
Canberra didn't... Newcastle didn't win down there for 20-odd years.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is when Canberra were just at their best, early 90s. Anyway, Eric Cox banged on the door because he didn't have the two-minute bell. He'd give you the two-minute warning and everyone's getting pumped up, and Eric Cox yells, bang, 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 come on, Newcastle, you're not going to win it in there. And Jamie Ainscough goes, we're not going to win it out there either, Eric.
that's what you want your outside backs yelling out, don't you? Yeah, the forward's getting ready to go.
Oh, dear. Finchie, who's on top at the moment? Who's the number one, number seven? Is it Daly, Cherry Evans?
Oh,
it's Cleary.
Oh, it's Cleary.
Is it now?
Yeah, I think... You know, some of those rep teams, it's harder to get out of them than get in, you know. But Nathan's form is superb. I think Daly's been tremendous the last sort of month with the arrival of Tom back. Mm. But Cleary's just, he's still such a young kid.
Yeah.
The maturity of him is ridiculous. You know, he's so calm. You know, if anyone ever watched me play, you could look at me and you'd know if you're up by 10 or down by 10. You know, I'm off my head or I'm blowing up or you're all over. He's just steady as she goes, you know, so calm. And hence the captaincy. And even... Like your dad's the coach and he's put your captain. But you never hear any, like the boys love it. There's no rumblings, you know. Like he must just be a great leader, and he's a tremendous number seven. And the beauty of playing in that side, it's fast tracking his development even more. So I'd put Cleary on top.
Times couldn't be more different for the number sevens of last night. So you've got Cleary, who you're just waxing lyrical about, lavish with praise. Then you've got Chad Townsend, who got hooked last night. Now, gentlemen, can I just throw a scenario by you just to get your approval? Does this not make sense? So the call from Josh Hannay, who was formerly at the Cowboys, he rings Todd Payton. He says, hey, Todd, look, we've got a few halves here. We've got young Connor Tracy, who could probably do us a job there. We've got Braden Trendle. We've got Sean Johnson. We've got Matty Moylan. Do you want to have Chad early, right? And he goes, well, let me think about it. I've got to make a call and I'll come back to you. So then he jumps on the phone to Newcastle. And he says, g'day, boys. We might be getting Chad Townsend. And I know that you've signed our young halfback, Jake Clifford, for next year. And I know that Mitchell Pearce is out. Would you like to have him early, right? Mm. So why couldn't that happen? Then all of a sudden you say, well, what do the Sharks get out of this? Well, this is what we got here. And tell me if you're the Sharks, if we were to complete this triangle, this is who the Knights have off contract. And who do the Sharks need? So to finish off this year, if they could pinch one of these, Phoenix Crossland, Lachlan Fitzgibbon, Blake Green, Tex Hoy, Heimel Hunt, Brody Jones, Josh King, Edric Lee, Kurt Mann, Anari Tawala, Connor Watson. So the Sharks would need someone from there to complete this trio trade. Who could the Sharks do with out of the Knights?
Well, yeah, it's not a bad point. But in Chad's defence, mate, you know, the people who started all this were Cronulla Board.
Yeah.
They made it clear that this season wasn't a priority by getting rid of Bomber.
But isn't that win-win for everyone? Jake Clifford's not getting a run at the Cowboys. Chad's been hooked from the Sharks.
Yeah.
Doesn't it make sense just to push them all along?
Well, you'd think so. But again, if a player wants to say, well, no, I'm happy to finish the year off here or... But you're right, if you go in there next year, Ciro, maybe not.
I'm grabbing Connor Watson if I'm the Sharks.
Yeah.
I reckon there's a lot of upside to Connor. He's foot speed around the ruck. He's just a tenacious little player, you know. So, and he can cover 9, 7, 6. Yeah. You know, he played a little bit of 13 for him too, the Knights, you know. So he might be a bloke you can, is a perfect number 14 for your side, I reckon, Connor. So, but yeah, look, I don't know if the management get their heads together of all those particular plays you've just discussed, things, you know, you may have just set the ball rolling on this, Joel.
You never know.
And one big thing it does do, and this is no knock on Chad because he's been tremendous for the Sharks halfback for the premiership in 2016. But if they do move him on early to the Cowboys, it then gives you a good look at Matty Moreland and go, righto, Moisa, you're 5'8 here for the rest of the year. Show me what you've got. You're playing for your career here. You're playing for your obviously, I think he's still got plenty of talent, but just injuries have really struggled to get any momentum in his career. So if you go Johnson and Moreland, there's our halves. Boys, show us what you got. You got 10-15 rounds to play for your future here at Cronulla.
You know what I'd consider getting from the Knights if I was the Sharks? Because they don't have the big outside backs. I know he's doing a fine job, but I feel as though they're just... He's playing so well, you've got to put him in the team, Connor Tracy. But he's not a winger. You can't have little wingers like that. I'd think about Stixie Lee. He's back next week.
Yeah.
Round 10, Stixie Lee. I'd think about
Edrick.
Sharks Edrick, having a big outside back.
Well, he was at Cronulla, wasn't he, Edrick? No.
He started there, did he?
I kind of remember him in that. I know he's at the Raiders. Mm. Raiders and these.
I'll have a look at the tapes here, Edrick.
Might just be my bad memory, but yeah.
After Raiders, Brooksy's saying. Yeah, after Raiders. Boys, before we take the break, this coming from Josh. The Panther boys have some great handshakes and post-try celebrations. Can you ask Ciro and Finchie what their go-to celebration was? Josh from Newcastle.
I would have loved to see Ciro and Blocker's handshake back in the day.
It was a backside tap. That's all it was. Just a little one on the rump. Wishka. Well done, mate.
Yeah, good.
That's
on
all
you,
we
bro.
Needed. What'd none of that fancy think? Stuff.
No, this is the old high five. Was pretty. My celebrations usually occurred after the game for about 3 days.
Imagine Ciro's hand.
And Blocker's
hand. It would start volcanoes on the other side of the
tell
world.
I tell you what I would have loved to have been. Like, one thing, Benny Elias. How good is Benny when you got Ciro and Blocker there? Matt, if I played behind, I would have, like, I got ahead of myself on a few occasions. But imagine having those two boys as your bodyguards. You'd be that confident and you'd just be sledging and mouthing off. On air and off the field, you'd be at the pub. You'd have the run of the town. At the pub, yeah, well, you'd deal with these two if you got a problem with me.
You must have bought the Tigers.
Oh, yeah, that's another story, mate.
I won't go there. big bad Benny. I tell you what, though, Ciro, I was a young Raiders fan as a kid, and therefore I'm going to have a disliking to the Tigers because that's what you do. They were big enemies, the Tigers and the Raiders. However, when you're a young kid, you don't really understand the game and you don't really see the intricacies and those sorts of things. In the past, and we got an opportunity through COVID to watch many of the old games, honest to God, like, is Benny Elias not one of the most underestimated players? He was a gun.
Mate, he was a good player. But Benny, his skill set, you know, he was a halfback. He changed the role of a number nine, of a hooker, of a dummy half.
Yeah.
It was just... what he could chip over the top and grub it through and, you know, all the puts the malacca stuff, the flick passes and all that, you know, all the stuff that he loved. But, mate, he was tough, Benny. People see all the stuff Benny goes on with, but he was a, mate, he's a tough sort of player when he played too, mate.
So it would fit in easily into this.
He stoles that because you look at the hookers in that, Roy Simmons, Matthew Krillich, George Paponis.
Well, they were just...
You know, that sort of, it was the old... So a hooker for the scrums, you know, but Benny, he was like the ball playing hooker. They played off the nine, they're big forwards. They're nine
jump out
control,
of half and just
which is what the game is based around now. If you don't have a ball playing nine, you're left behind in today's game. Exactly. So
yeah, before we hit the break, hello gents, I'll try one more time, Finchie.
Yes,
something, Big Charlie.
Something. What's doing, big man?
There's Big Charlie.
He's a Tigers man, Big Charlie.
Big Charlie.
He's a Tigers fan.
Beautiful. We're going to hit the break. Crunch time with thanks to Red Rooster and Isuzu. The 3-litre Isuzu D-Max, born to live. The powerful 3-litre turbo diesel Isuzu D-Max. No matter the adventure, the Isuzu D-Max is born to live. On the open line, by the way, 1300 01 1170. If you want to speak to Ciro, if you've got questions for Finchie, have your say, 1300 01 1170. Or you can text through, just like Bobby Rooster, 0457 736 736. Hi, fellas. On a serious note, it's Panthers Storm, then Daylight. I thought Roosters were brave without too much luck. It was Para If Parra was a force, they should have put 40 on them. What's your view? Who will be the new number six next week? I like Manu at the back and possibly Teddy at six. Sawali into the centre. As regards Bobby Rooster. How do you see that, boys?
Yeah, I'm not too sure what they're going to go with now. You'd like to think with young Walker at halfback, you'd try and put someone there with the experience, maybe.
Exactly.
But it's just the whoever's on deck for them. There's so many injuries at the moment.
I think Lockie Lamb's close to coming back. What would you do, Ciro? Would you go with a Lockie Lamb, or do you roll the dice and go, you know what? We probably need to just roll the dice on a Manu or a Teddy at six. The other one goes to fullback, Sawali in the centres.
Probably Manu, to be honest, mate. Yeah, you don't move Tedesco. Teddy can play like another ball distributor from fullback. And then, you know, young Sawali, if he comes in, he's got that, you know, Teddy behind him, and Sawali maybe, Jerry Manu defending inside him, so... Yeah, but there's, like a lot of clubs, mate, everyone's got injuries. So, yeah, they're all, all taking stock of who they've got available. And it gives opportunities to young kids, doesn't it? So that's the other.
Just going through the injury list here, Ciro. Of course, Jake Friend, concussion, now retired. Luke Keary, Brett Morris and Lindsay Collins, ACL. Three big players, ACL, gone for the year. Sam Verrill's had that detached retina. Freddie Lussie's got an arm injury. Billy Smith's shoulder. Poor old Billy Smith can't get a game. But the big one here, and you know this bloke very, very well. I'm interested to see what you think may happen. Boyd Cordner still out with concussion. Have you got any clues or guesses as to how you think this may play out?
Well, mate, from all reports, he's back training and he's doing just about everything. You know?
Okay.
A little bit of contact stuff too, but it's a wait and see. I think they put some time frames around his return to play and that's sort of thing with Boyd, but... Geez, they could certainly use him now, couldn't they?
And you've probably seen closer than most, especially being in the Blues, his leadership comes, the last 3 or 4 years. How important is just that part of Boyd being back in the team?
Well, we missed him, he got injured in game one in Adelaide, and then Teddy did a great job in Sydney. Yeah, everyone was up for that game, but then there was times in game three, I'll take your mind back last year, back to Suncorp, and we probably just lacked, Teddy got whacked, maybe got whacked by, and then Arrow sort of, come in too. We just lacked a cool head, and a leader like Boyd who could have said, got the boys in and said, listen, let's go back to what we know, let's go back to our stuff we're trained for, our structure, and we know what to do. But he's developed as a leader.
Yeah.
Boyd, when he first came into camp and, to where he was when he left last year, mate, he's improved out of sight. And, he's got the respect of everyone.
This is Crunch Time brought to you by Red Rooster and Isuzu, the 3-litre Isuzu D-Max, born to live. Have your say on the text line, 0457 736 736, and you can call us 1300 01 1170. Gentlemen, before we move on to the review of the Storm versus the Rabbitohs, we called the game last night of the Panthers and the Sharks, and I have been one of the greatest supporters of Wade Graham. Just such a fine, fine player and a rare type of player. However, last night was the first time I've ever seen Wade. He just looked a bit, I don't know if out of his depth was a go, or he just looked to be doing things really hard last night, Wade Graham. Did you catch much of that?
Oh, I think it's just where their season's at. He's captain of the club and he's as passionate as any player, as competitive as any player, Wade. He's a player I would have loved to have played with. He's one of those guys. And I still think he's got plenty to offer, but he's probably extremely frustrated with how the club's handled the situation, where the club's at. This is a bloke who's used to winning premierships or be thereabouts with Cronulla. So to be now in a team that's not competing is probably a really frustrating time for Wade. I don't know what you think, Ciro.
Yeah, look, he came out with a couple of uncharacteristic errors last night, didn't he? Some of his passing and just... But it does keep, at some stage it'll all pile on top of him too, I think he had a pretty good relationship with Johnny Morris when he was coaching and probably would have played against Bomber anyway, but with what sort of transpired over the last four weeks, I mean, there was two ways it was going to go for the Sharks. It was either going to go, upwards with Josh Hannay taking over, but it's gone, mate, the complete opposite, and they looked leaderless at last night, didn't they? And that's not what we've come to expect from the Sharks over the last several years. But There's like a lot of teams, mate. There's plenty of clubs in the same boat, but Penrith and Melbourne can do that to you. They can grind you down where you just think, boy, oh boy, where's the next wing coming from?
Yeah, that's right. And you can have teams who have been so dominant, but when you've got two teams being so dominant, you think, how the hell is not one of them going to win it? Gentlemen, we watched the Storm versus the Rabbitohs, and for all of us, it was history because not in our lifetimes have we ever seen in first grade rugby league six tries. I was watching the game with my two sons. I've got the two older daughters and the two sons. And he'd scored five, and the wifey's saying, they've got to go to bed, they've got to go to bed. I said, no, they're staying up because because they may never see this themselves. So in 71 years, we hadn't seen this. And I said, we're staying up, boys, because if he scores six tries, you might be grandparents yourself one day sitting with your grandchildren saying, guys, I remember there might be a kid sitting on five tries, and you can be saying, well, I remember sitting next to Dad on the lounge, and there was a bloke called Josh Adokar who scored six, and I'll never forget that. And I said, you need to, and sure enough, he scored the tries, we know, but an amazing night, wasn't it, Sarah?
And the other bloke you played for, was it Newtown? Was it Jack Troy? Was that his name?
Yeah.
Mm. Has he got any family members in Sydney? Because that's a name I've never heard.
No.
I'm a bit of a rugby league nerd when it comes to the historical part of it and stats and bits and pieces. I'm a bit like you, Joel.
Yeah.
But just a bit older. Anyway, that's a bloke I hadn't heard of his name.
Played for Australia in 1950, Jack Troy.
Well, 1950 from the Blue Bag. So if you're out there, the Troy family, can you ring in? Because we want to say good day.
And he's a Tigers junior. Like that could have been in the
bucket. Who is?
Adokar.
No, he played there, mate. He's actually a South.
He
was at South and then went to Cronulla. The Tigers signed him from the Sharks, and then he sort of got his chance at the Tigers. And one of the coaches said, no, he's not going to make it. Let's move him on too. So off to Melbourne he went.
Oh, dear. This is the reserve grade. This is live. Yeah. So Ryan James playing reserve grade at Wagga. This is for the game against...
Tex Hoy's in the team as well. There's a few there.
Coaches have made some tough calls.
Absolutely.
He was going good. Ryan James was going... A month ago, he was outstanding for the Raiders, but...
Denamis Louis there as well. Mm. So this is big stuff. I've got Jack Troy here, boys. This is a Rugby League project. Alan Whittaker writes these notes. Now, I was wondering, I'm not sure whether he's related to Julian Troy. Remember Julian? Did you play with Julian Troy?
Played against
Julian Troy. Mm. If you do know, let us know on the text line 0457 736 736. Professional runner, the son of a hurdles jockey of the same name. This is Jack Troy. Was graded by Newtown in 1947. Jack Troy missed out on selection in Australia's athletics team for the London Olympics in 1948, but achieved rep honours in rugby league. He played in New South Wales in five matches in 1950 against Queensland and Great Britain and scored a club record six tries in a match against the Roosters that year. Troy's two test appearances came at a pivotal time in the history of the game. The Newtown winger played in the first and third tests against Great Britain, the latter match resulting in the 5-2 win that gave Australia the Ashes for the first time in 30 years. After leg injuries forced his retirement in 1953, he entered the administration field and was named chairman of selectors at St George in 1976. Jack Troy, and of course, he scored in 1951, six tries in a match.
So you talk about try scorers, and obviously the Morris brothers are some of the modern-day Slater, and they're just outrageous. Ken Irvine still 50-odd in front of them. And
212 tries.
Yeah, how many tries would have they had scored if the corner post was...
Yeah.
Well, back then he touched the corner post, there's no try. Yeah. So just amazing Ken Irvine must have been. And he wasn't, North Sydney, they didn't win any premierships, did they?
No. That's 1921 or 22 or something. Yeah. That was the last time they won a comp. But yeah, he was some sort of player.
Boys, we're going to hit the open line here. 1300 01 1170. Question before we do so. If there was a try series, it was the Penrith Panthers, it was New South Wales excluding Panthers, and it was Queensland excluding Panthers. Think about that. Who would win the Tri Nations? Would Penrith, the old champion team, beat a team full of champions? Would they beat New South Wales without Panthers players? Would they beat Queensland without Panthers players?
The current Panthers.
The current Panthers team.
Well, they're not a champion team yet, Joel.
Aside from a grand final, that's right.
Well, that's the only
good
thing
point there, Fitchy. Yeah.
Would a very good team. A very good team. Anyway, open line we go. Jim from Canterbury's there. G'day, Jim.
G'day, Joel. Listen, what did... that Dylan Brown get? Did he get 3 weeks or did they take a week off?
No, early plea 3 weeks. If he challenges and loses, 4 weeks.
And what did Nakora get? A couple of weeks?
Two weeks early plea, 3 weeks if he challenges and loses.
Yeah. Is that all he gets? What if he broke Tedesco's jaw? What does he get another week, does he? He could have broken his jaw. And both players, they should have been sent from the field. I don't know what the referee was doing or the bunker. This Dylan Brand, he went in deliberate for the knees. He's punched the bloke's lungs in and he killed him.
Yeah, but you know what?
And the referee, they didn't see nothing and they charge him after half time. What's going on?
What's Pepe appealing?
We never got a restart East till the 60th minute. What Parramatta, they're the perfect team, are they? Yeah, the only way Parramatta win the comp if Penrith and Melbourne don't turn up.
Oh, yes, Jimmy, I like how you're fired up. One thing I'll say about this, and people are saying that, you know, what would have happened to Dylan Brown had Drew Hutchison not got hurt? What would have happened to Murata Nakore had James Tedesco broken his jaw? Well, it's no different to regular court of law. If you go and punch somebody, boys, in the main street, if you punch someone, determining on what happens to that person, it does have an impact,
yeah,
the amount of damage you've done. Even though the act is the same act,
yes,
it does have an impact, doesn't it?
Yeah, certainly it does. And that's where, I don't know, as the judiciary said that if it's, you know, if a player's, the injury is worse, does it add to the suspension? I'm not too sure.
I think it probably does, mate. Yeah. It might go from a grade three to a grade four, yeah, or refer straight to the judiciary, mate. Yeah, if someone's got a broken jaw.
Obviously with the ribs, Drew Hutchison was just really lucky. Dr. Josh Morris was there there and he looked after him with a
well, that might be his defence that Dr. Morris has broken his ribs.
Well, I think that's Dylan Brown's defence. It was Morris. He was only winded. Dylan Brown had
nothing wrong with him.
He collapsed his lung by popping his legs in his...
Hang on. The report card's been updated. Jay Morris, dangerous contact, updated.
Reckless and dangerous.
Hey, Jimmy, we appreciate your call, mate. You've ramped it up there, no doubt about that. We love your point. 1300 01 1170. You can text any time as well, Jimmy. 0457 736 736. This is the crunch. That's what's been big in news in rugby league. Red Rooster, crunchy fried chicken, available at selected restaurants. Thanks to Red Rooster and Isuzu. This is Crunch Time. Red Rooster's crunchy fried chicken, available, as I said, at selected restaurants. Yeah, welcome back. Paul Siren and Brett Finch. I'm Joel Kane. Crunch Time. Thanks to Red Rooster and Isuzu. Red Rooster's crunchy fried chicken, available at selected restaurants. We'll be carrying on here. We'll get crunch time up until 2 o'clock, and then we've got you to 6.30, where we'll cover the Raiders versus the Knights. Myself, Scotty Sattler, and Timmy Manor right here on 1170 SEN is the way to do that. As far as news is concerned, for the crunch, big news in rugby league, Red Rooster's crunchy fried chicken available at selected restaurants. Let's talk about the Raiders situation, gentlemen, because it's all happening there. You've got Josh Hodgson, who gives up the captaincy. George Williams apparently is homesick. You have the scenario of Joe Tarpany, where his wife or girlfriend is getting involved there, which I think... I fell in love with the show Maths just for all the drama. and when I see Joe Tarpany wife blowing up on Instagram, I just think it's beautiful stuff, Ciro.
Oh, mate, please. Let me out of that.
Imagine Sticky. I
mean, you know Sticky pretty well, so do I. And I don't think he'd be putting out with too much, to be honest. So he's probably called a few blokes out and as a result of not winning football games... That's what you got. So yeah, they can turn it around today against the Knights down in Wagga. But it just sounds like a couple of little cracks appearing down there in the Raiders, the green machine.
Absolutely beautiful.
And there's no doubt, you know, that obviously I think the tweet was quite correct. He probably could have used the interchange better. But the fact of the matter is Tarpany's playing nowhere near his best footy. And Sticky's got every right to play him off the bench. And when you have a few little cracks, it's quite easy to look somewhere else for why the reason is you're not winning, isn't it? Instead of looking at yourself. And, you know, I had them as a premiership contender at the start of the year, like many people would have. But they're certainly well off the pace at the moment.
Manasi Kaho has scored for the Raiders. Speaking of the Raiders in the knock-on effect cup, it is 11 minutes gone in the first half. 4-0, the Raiders leading the Knights. Brad Schneider, the halfback, about to try and convert from the sideline to give the Raiders in the knock-on effect cup. The old reserve grade, a 6-point lead. He moves in from the touchline. Right boot strikes it, but stays wide. So score remains 4-0. The Raiders leading the Knights in the knock-on effect cup. 11 minutes gone in the first half.
Just back to Hodgson, boys. It wasn't too long ago. Like they couldn't win without him. That was especially when we went down with his knee, you'd firstly put a line through the Raiders. Now it's... There's a question marks of what they've got some good young kids coming through there. Or
Tommy Starling's really, he played really well when he got that opportunity. Again, it's all about opportunities in our game. And
100%.
Starling's done that. And I don't know, is there a bit of green envy or something from Hodgson to Starling. I don't know, mate. That's the dynamics of a footy team.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, what's the future for Jared Croker? Yeah. Chance Nickel-Klokstad injured. Josh Papali, or Papali, he's been rested as well. So we're going to find out a few clues, boys, in a few hours. We've got the call here, as I mentioned, 2 p.m. The coverage starts ahead of the Raiders taking on the Knights. Scotty Sattler and Tim Manor getting ready for that 11:70. Hi, boys. Don't forget Valentine Holmes also scored 6 tries in a match for Australia in the World Cup. Regards, Bobby Rooster. Yeah, that's right. Hasn't he got a strike rate?
Good point.
Val Holmes in Rep
games. Yeah, yeah. He was some sort of player a couple of years ago for Queensland. I don't know if he's sort of recaptured that form just yet, but yeah, we shall see in the next few weeks.
Yeah, have your say on the open line. We're going nowhere. 1300 01 1170. We're going to talk about cult heroes after the break. There's a big story in the Daily Telegraph around cult heroes. So let us know who your favourite cult heroes have been, either currently now or in the past. And we'll certainly give those a shout out right here on Crunch Time. Delicious, crunchy, new fried chicken by Red Rooster. Available at selected restaurants. The Rooster's calling. A break and back with more. Yeah, we've heard it all. This is Crunch Time. Thanks to Red Rooster and Isuzu. The Red Rooster's crunchy fried chicken available at selected restaurants. Just repeating the judiciary report where Murata Nakore, he will get 3 weeks if he challenges the high shot on James Tedesco, 2 weeks with an early guilty plea. And as for Dylan Brown, the big story of the night, he will cop 4 weeks if unsuccessful at the judiciary with his, I suppose, dangerous contact on Drew Hutchison, 3 weeks if he takes an early guilty plea. And as far as Brett Finch is concerned, he believes Josh Morris has something to answer for a dangerous contact on Drew Hutchison as well. Have you say 1300 01 1170 is the way to do that. You can also call in 1300 01 1170 or text us 0457 736 736. Crunch Time, thanks to Red Rooster and Isuzu. Red Rooster's crunchy fried chicken available at selected restaurants. Now, gentlemen, on the back of Addo Carr scoring his 6, and he's got quite the cult following, there is a story in the Daily Telegraph talking about some of the great cult heroes. You've got some of the names there in front of you, Ciro. Who are some of the names there who would be considered cult heroes from the past?
Well, according to the Telegraph, the likes of Jeff Robertson, played for the Bulldogs back in the 70s and 80s. One of my old teammates, Kerry Buckets Hemsley, was certainly a cult hero. Mark Tukey.
Yeah,
Tukey. Had a cult following. Fui Moi Moi. Ronnie Rambo Gibbs. Manly's got a couple, actually. David Williams.
The Wolf Band.
Big Gorgeous George Rose. Piggy Riddell gets a mention too.
Wow.
Pigmeister, but I guess this is in the back of young Zach Sini making his debut last week and got the strawberry blonde fro going, flowing in the and scoring a meaty, and all his mates down the corner down there at Wollongong last week. Just some great vision, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, going nuts.
It was good, wasn't it? Yeah, that's what the game's all about.
Yeah, 100%. And you mentioned Kerry Hemsley there, Buckets Hemsley. And you're actually catching up, I understand, for a few frothies with another man called Buckets. Is that right?
Yes, I am, Joel. Yeah. It's been a long time between drinks for myself and my premiership winning back rower, Mark O'Neill.
Yeah.
Mark O'Neill. So Mark and I go back a few years. So we're catching up for a frosty one later on this afternoon.
How's that going to go down, Ciro? Do you when you're on the drink, will you set the pace or what's your?
Generally, I would, Finchie. Yeah. I do tend to set the pace when I'm out having a few with the boys, but I'm going to be responsible, have a couple of mid-strengths because I've got some other family matters on later on tonight.
Oh, so you're going to pace yourself.
I will, mate. I will. But it was funny because we were talking during the week and we said last time we caught up at this particular venue we're going to up at Epping, it's a famous venue.
Yeah.
His first daughter was just born and she's now 12. So 12.
My little angel.
Myla's got it. Yeah, she's 12 years of age now. So.
Really good story, Finchie. Right. So Belinda, Mark's wife, had breast cancer, a really bad run of breast cancer. And to the point where they thought at that time that having children was probably not an option. All of a sudden, lo and behold, Belinda gets pregnant. And as you say, 12 years ago, has the beautiful little baby. And her name is Myla because M-Y-L-A, my little angel.
Very good.
Yeah, so well done. So just on Kerry Hemsley, though, and the man you're talking about, Buckets, is in Buckets O'Neill. He tells a story at Balmain Leagues Club where Kerry Hemsley and young Buckets O'Neill, is trying to impress Kerry Hemsley. So he says, mate, get me a beer. So Buckets trots off to the bar and gets him a beer, and he comes back, and Kerry Hemsley, senior Buckets, holds out the hand, and he's standing over the tiles here at the bar. So Buckets, Junior Buckets, Mark O'Neill, proudly he gives him the beer. To which point, moments later, the beer just smashes all over the tiles. And Kerry Buckets Hemsley says, "This hand only fits schooners. Now go get me a real beer."
What, did he buy him a mini?
Yeah.
He's a bit tight too.
That's right.
That's probably the back of that too. But I used to play a bit of a mixed touch. And we're talking before the show about Blake's who just think they're sensational players. And Mark and his brother, Paul. Paul was probably the Michael Wayman of touch. He wasn't particularly fleet-footed or anything. He was honest as the day is long. But Paulie, but yeah, Mark and Belinda, we played mixed. It was punishing because my missus thought she had, you know, she could read defence and everything. And, you know, she used to shuffle me out the wing. But Mark and Belinda would just play off each other the whole game. Yeah. Like no one else. The ball wouldn't go more than two passes. It'd be those two and, you know, they'd be kissing after they scored tries and blowing kisses and nice pass. Yeah. Nice pass, darling.
I love touch football, and I think that we underestimate how many stars can come from it. However, you can come across the occasional pork chop, can't you?
Oh, well, there's plenty in touch football, let me tell you. No tackling. Come on, let's hear that story, Joel. Come on.
Oh, okay. Well, so Jamie Soward, right? Mm. And I like Jamie, by the way, and I actually think he's very, very talented as far as broadcasting goes. But anyway, and he's been doing some calling, and I understand he's calling all right. But anyway, he's playing down at the local touch footy, and this is local touch footy, right? So it's not that serious. But Jamie is so competitive, and he's in the middle of the field, and he knows which players he needs on the field to win the game and those who he doesn't. So he's dead set attacking, to which point he looks out to his left, and then double takes, looks out to his left again, and points to somebody and says, "Oi, get off," right? Posse has the ball to another person, "Oi, get on," right? And like,
is this when he's in the middle of his NRL career? Or?
Yeah, and then so then he advances Jamie to play for Cronulla at the mixed touch, right? And they're all up there and they're just having fun and, you know, and he's got them all off the bit because he's just
Port Macquarie, was it?
Port Macquarie, yeah.
State Cup touch.
He's got them all off the bit and he's calling team meetings and as I said, I love Sally, but they just want to go away and get on the sword.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to win the comp anyway, right? So they're all off the bit because all these team meetings and it's all getting quite serious. And anyway, they're in the final. They're gone through undefeated. They're going to win it. And Sowie takes off. And you know what? Like all of us, we've put a bit of weight on, but he's kept his speed and he just takes off. And it's a drop-off. You know, when it gets to a final, it's a draw. Well, it's a drop-off. Two players have left. It's 4-on-4. Sowie's just gone around him and it's game over, right? He's flying away to the trial line. He's going to score. And then, boom, 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 boom. Right?
Oh, the sniper.
The sniper.
What? The hammy or the calf? Which went?
All of the above.
Oh. How far out was he from the line?
Mate, he's 5 metres out. Mm. And he's going to win the whole championship.
Was he saluting doing these ones?
Just about. Well, it looked like, but he was trying to not hit the ground with his arm. So he falls, stacks it, ball goes loose. And the lactic acid is just screaming and asking all sorts of questions. To which Newcastle, who the rank outsiders are, they pick the ball up, they tap.
Go the length of score.
Length of the field and score.
Touch football karma. Touch football karma.
Yeah, poor Sam.
The mighty Novocastrians. We get them again.
Yeah, the mighty Novocastrians who never looked like it, but they got the job done. You know who's a very good touch footballer, speaking about Newcastle? Daniel Fitzhenry's son. Remember Daniel Fitzhenry?
Yeah, yeah. He's down in Wagga there for a while.
He plays for Newcastle Harold Metz. I think he came down this year. We played him at Leichhardt earlier in the year, the Knights. And, Fitzy was there.
Yeah. He'd be like a half or a 5-8.
Yeah, I think he is.
Fullback or something?
Yeah,
there you go. Gentlemen, a couple of big games coming up. The Sirenan Cup. You missed out first time. Are the boys back for this one, Ciro? Take you on the Warriors?
Well, one of them is.
One of them is.
Yeah. But the last one, unfortunately, they were both busted. It's bad Sirenan and Jeans, I guess. But, Curtis thought he was a chance to play this week. He just had a little minor hiccup with his final prep to come back. So he's still maybe a week or two away. But Bay's available. He came off the bench last week against the Cowboys. But he'll be ready to go at Brookvale. So we'll have Mother's Day down there, mate. The family will be down there cheering for Bailey. And we can't lose.
How's that dynamic of them growing up, Ciro? So obviously, you know, your younger brother usually is always trying to beat the older brother in the backyard. But then what was the personalities like of both the boys?
Yeah, mate, it was punishing for a while. You can just imagine. Like, they used to play cricket in the backyard.
Yeah.
So we had this old colour bond shed. And
like, the hammering.
Bailey would be bowling. And bang, bang, you know, the ball beats it back.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you'd hear I'm not out. Yeah, you dickhead. Really? Can I say that? Yeah, no. Start crying. There'd be a fight in the backyard anyway. It ended in tears anyway. But fast forward sort of 20-odd years, they're really good mates. No? Yeah. They're fantastic mates. They're super close. So yep. they talk to each other frequently. But Bailey's got the wood on him. He flogged him last time. He played for South last year. They touched up Manly, but they both missed this game. And, you know, it might be Bailey with some more. I don't know. Can the Warriors get Manly tomorrow? It should be a good game.
Yeah, they could. It should be a good game, actually. Actually, Sarah and I have got something in common here. We have sons coming back from injury this round. So my youngest son, poor bugger, he has a dislocated elbow playing bloody touch football of all things, and his elbow's gone on like this. The worst thing they did was they put in a cast. He had three ligaments come off with bone, right, and they put it in a cast. So what it actually did, it sort of fixed the arm in a locked position. So the poor bugger's been hanging off things, and for 12 weeks he's been out of action. Made his comeback game today, and all we care about is that he comes through the game unscathed. So anyway, Gal coaches the team, and the boys are going quite well, and he's making tackles, and he's getting into it, and that's great, and we're just happy that he's so far so good. You wouldn't believe it, 15 minutes to go, on the other side of the field, in back play, and he wears the yellow bib, he's down. And his arm's hanging down, His arm's hanging down, he can see he's crying, and like, he's only like 9. And I'm thinking, oh no, this bugger's worked so hard to get himself, and he'd have to have Nurofen just to get through physio. And there he is, his arm's hanging down, and Kobe and I are just like going, oh, no. And Sven, the trainer, comes off.
Is he in the masseuse as well?
He looks nothing like Sven.
He cleans pools too.
In fact, his young son, actually won the Australian beach sprint finals. But anyway, so Sven comes off, champion bloke, knockabout bloke, just the kind of bloke that you want as a trainer, right? And he's got his hand hanging down my son on the other side of the field, and he wants to stay on. And I'm thinking, oh, no. I said, Sven, was it the arm? And he goes, no. He goes, he got whacked in the Jets crack.
The crown jewels.
I've never, ever in my life been so happy to see someone get whacked in the head.
Can we talk about your other young fella's preparation for his big rep trials the other day? Like, we go and do the Anzac Day game, and Sugar brings the family along, and the boys are just loving it. You know, they got the footies, and we're kicking the footies around. We go to the entertainment quarter after it, have some dinner, and the kids are out playing.
Fantastic.
Yeah. He dead said had 48 Super Dupers.
Sugar fix.
He added 87 ice blocks.
Yeah.
He just played footy till about 9 o'clock at night, and he had to get up first thing in the morning to play. Yeah. I said, mate, that's preparation. He made the rep team. It was fantastic stuff.
He made the team, but he did miss the team. He made the rugby league team, but he missed out on the state touch football team, right? So the eldest daughter made it, which is great news. And but what happened was, and I found this quite funny, he said, Dad, do they pick the state team? I said, mate, it's a merit team. So they just named the team, and it's not actually a game. It's like the Kangaroos last year. They picked a merit team. So they acknowledged those who would have been in the team had there been a game. So the team come out, and he's missed out on the state team, which is fair enough. There's some talented kids out there. He said, Dad, I missed out. He said, but do you reckon I'm a chance of making it as a shadow? I said, mate, I've never heard of a kid pull out of a merit team.
I like where he's coming from, mate. You've got to have that plan B.
Say to the boy, I was 18th man for the merit team.
Yeah, and you know what? They're that young, our kids, that they're every chance of playing the likes of Reece Walsh.
Yeah.
What do you make of his start, Finchie?
He's been superb. He just looks like a footy player again. I just can't believe that they let him go to go to... You know, for someone who, and he looks like, not only if he's fullback, he looked equally at home at 5'8". So, you know, he's a young kid, he's 18, so he's potentially got 10, 15 years in the game. And he's one of those players that, you know, he can turn a game in the blink of an eye with some individual brilliance. So, you know, looks like he's got a great future ahead. And Brownie's he's real smart with attacking players. And, I think he's the right man for the job to bring him through. And, Looks a good one.
I like what he said during the week too, Finchie, on Reece Walsh, because his debut game was against Melbourne, which is that's some sort of tough assignment. But the Warriors, like the Roosters, have got a stack of injuries too. Like it's not probably reported because they're not a glamour side like the Roosters, but they got a stack of blokes out injured anyway. So he gets his opportunity. Him and young Rocco Berry, who's going to be some sort of player as well. So. But Reece Walsh, man, the confidence for a kid of 18 and against Melbourne and threw a couple of try assists in the Anzac Day game and then backed it up last week, you know, and set up a couple of tries and was, you know, scintillating through the whole game. You know, there's a couple of things. He slipped over a couple of times where there was a try, maybe gone begging. But I shame me, I think he's 18, yeah. 18 years of age, this young fella, and he's just... But what Brandy did say was, mate, look, he's played a couple of full 80 minutes. We might just bring him back to the bench now and drip feed him into games. Just so, a la Sam Walker a bit, where, you know, because they will get busted, mate, after you know, six,
you don't want to hit the
rounds.
Wall, do you?
Well, that's it, mate. Yeah. That does happen when they play with the NRL guys. So.
Ciro, obviously a tough question. If they're both playing, who are you going for? I imagine you just both want them to play well and the result take care of itself. But I want to ask you this. Where you've been involved in coaching, etc. Now, you have scenarios in more recent times where Ivan Cleary was coaching against Nathan Cleary. Flanagan was with the Dragons against his son. And you're going to see more and more of that as time goes on. If you're a dad, right, and hypothetically you're coaching a game and your team's in the grand final and your son is the opposing halfback, what do you actually want to happen? Seriously. Do you actually want to win the game or you'd rather see your son win it?
Mate, well, you can't lose, can you?
No.
I mean, for a start, you're either going to celebrate a premiership or your young bloke is.
Yeah.
And, mate, regardless, put everything aside, mate, family first.
That's right.
It's always family first. You know, it doesn't matter what you get out of our game. It's important that everyone in the family's right. So for a start, you can't lose.
Yeah. But you'd rather see a son win the Clive Churchill than you win the game, wouldn't you?
Oh, you probably would, yeah. I mean, but everything I did in the game, it just piles into insignificance. Yeah. Seeing my boys, debut in first grade. It's just the proudest moment. It's just it's fantastic. And you ask any ex-player how the sense of pride you get when your kids run out for their first grade game. It's really, really special. So
you're two of them.
But you just like them to stay healthy, you know. Yeah. I sort of harp on it a bit, but you know, poor old Curtis is just, you know, he's had more injuries than Nine Blacks combined for the whole career, you know.
Yeah.
He's just sort of comes from, you know, he's starting, you know, running games, he'll be playing some good football, and then, you know, something else happens. So
these blokes, the fullbacks, have got their own cult following, being Tommy Turbo and Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. Brooksy writes, Darren Fritz from the Steelers was his cult hero.
Yeah.
Brownie writes, Cliffy Lyons.
I had a couple.
Yeah, who was yours?
Hytro Alcassini. Remember the big front row? Yeah,
yeah.
Warriors. For Warriors.
Like, yeah.
Johnny Schuster. You'd have played against Johnny Schuster, centre.
Yeah.
Young Schuster's, it's his nephew at Manly now.
Josh.
He had the big left foot step, the hill at Marathon Stadium. We go up, shoo.
Yeah, 88, 89 when they come in, yeah.
And the big one I played with down in Canberra, the Volcano, Leslie Vanicola.
Leslie Vanicola.
Yeah.
And you know the best thing about Les? Never the smartest bloke, Les. And we had, we did a lot of swimming one pre-season. A lot of swimming. Anyway, for blokes who couldn't swim well.
Yeah.
They put on a stroke correction course. Like for a swimming coach would take some blokes, just, you know, they're doing a lot of swim. So stroke correction. He turns up, Big Les, with a pen, paper, like book, A4, down there, and said, "Righto, Les, jump." He goes, "No, I'm not here for the swimming." He said, "Mate, this is a stroke correction." He goes, "Oh, I thought it was a speech correction." he said, "Why would you turn up in an Olympic pool for a speech correction course?"
Well, in our day, Fitchie, we didn't have the big Polynesian players. Like, it was very rare to come across, you know, the big New Zealand players or the Samoan or the Tongan players. And, you know, the Pulutuas, they were sort of rare coming through at the time. Yep. And I remember the Tigers were playing the Raiders down at the nation's capital, and I was marking Leslie Vanicola. He was their left winger and I was the right winger on this particular day. And I think it was Lowell Milford who was our left winger at the West Tigers. We run out and I've gone to the left side of the field, right? And Lalola Milford is also standing in that left winger position on the field. He said, "Mate, what are you on the wrong side?" I said, "Mate, Junior's just said there's a late switch. You're playing right wing today."
Get over there.
He's gone
over
there.
Over there.
Big Leslie Vanicola.
He did one of the best I've seen. Les, at the end of 2001, he signed with Bradford to go over there for the 2002 season. He's gone over there, flight him over early because Bradford have made the grand final. He's done the lap of honour with the team. I'm watching the Super League grand final. Here's Les, who played in our game 2 weeks earlier last game. He's trophy to the fans. He signed for next season.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, you're smart.
Cult following, see?
Oh, you can do what you want.
Cult following. Let us know who your cult heroes are. You got one, Zero?
Well, for me growing up, Yeah, someone like Jeff Robinson was, you know, he was a little bit wild, you know, back in the early 80s. He had the big mop of hair and the beard and just threw himself into, you know, in attack, just ran the ball like he was a kamikaze, mate. But I actually played against Robbo in reserve grade in about 1984, I think it was, so that was a bit of a thrill playing against him, but... I love that
footage of Robbo when he just crashes into the wall and cleans out Stirling.
They'll power out of walls. It took about five of them.
He just launched himself. It is fantastic.
Tell me this, because your team was full of cult heroes. If, hypothetically, and you can answer yourself, if there was a table back in the day where you had, let's call it footy cards you were signing and giving away, there was yourself, Blocker, Benny, Gary Jack, Wayne Pearce, Gary Freeman, whoever else I've missed, and you're all sitting there at the table, which player would have commanded the biggest lineup to get the signature on the card?
Oh, mate, there's no doubting who, mate. Yeah, Wayne Pearce was there.
Was he the one?
He was the
longest line would be
Junior. It was Junior first, and then, you know.
Really?
Everyone would just right at the back of the pack.
Is that right?
Particularly me.
Yes.
Anyway, but he was everyone's favourite Junior.
Yeah, let us know your cult heroes, 0457. 736-736. We've got tomorrow, we've got the football as well. It's the Dragons taking the Bulldogs. Matty White's going to call that game with Brett Camorley and Timmy Manor as we look forward to that. But this is Crunch Time, all thanks to Red Rooster and Isuzu. Red Rooster's crunchy fried chicken available at selected restaurants. A break and back with more. And plenty of text messages coming through. Crunch Time, thanks to Red Rooster and Isuzu. Red Rooster's crunchy fried chicken available at selected restaurants. Plenty of text messages coming through with their cult heroes. Lord Ted Goodwin, no name on this one. John from Blakehurst says, what about the mighty Tinger, Nathan Blacklock? Wasn't he a player, boys?
Good play. Yeah, well, excitement machine. Great to watch.
Him and Mundine together.
Mm. Yeah. What about the Knight Rider? Remember old Justin Leon,
Oh, yeah. Leon from Rosemeadow has just written that. Justin the Knight Rider.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the great characters. You and Leon have great minds, think alike. Yeah. Bettina from Mascot writes, what about the great E.T.? Yeah, the Sharkies there. Brooksy's in the house. Our producer, our great man, Brooksy. Who was your cult hero, Brooks?
I had a few. Illawarra. See, I went for the Steelers, boys. Mm, so there was a few. There was the Spaghetti Brothers, Pinchinelli, Skiffoletti.
Yeah.
Ian loved Russell them. I used to love down there.
You know, Ian Russell's son is playing in the A-League, Tate Russell, for the Wanderers. Yeah. He's doing really well.
It's amazing the pedigrees, isn't it? I mean, Ciro's seeing have two boys playing in the National Rugby League. But you see, Will Finchie, your dad, of course, played in a couple of grand finals. Yeah. And you see it quite often, don't you? Plenty of cult heroes coming through, Brooksy, as well.
Yeah, so there was a few others from down that way. Darren Fritz was another one.
Yeah.
Yep. Valerie from Canterbury. Guess who she said? Terry Lamb.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. There's 80s and the 90s. There were so many of them. Ricky Walford. We've got Jeff Hardy. A couple of Dragons.
The cult following.
Alan Wright. Marcus Bye.
Surely Rod Thunderthigh Wishart must have had a bit of a following down Gerringong.
Alan Wright's Benji has to get a start. Of course he does. Benji, he was brilliant as well. Caelan Ponga's got his own cult following coming up. And, of course, at Parramatta. I mean, who wouldn't have Timmy Manor as a cult hero?
One of the greats.
Speaking about Parramatta, you had...
Fui Fui Moi Moi.
He jumps to mind, doesn't he?
What did he say, Fui Fui Moi Moi, when Paul Langmack was coaching
him? He was training. Yeah. He walks off training, he goes, where are you going? He goes, you play me for 9 minutes, I train for 9 minutes.
Yeah.
Big fool.
What about this bloke here,
Timmy?
He's
the nicest bloke. Me and Timmy, he'll tell you some great stories.
Have you got one yourself, Timmy? A piccolo yourself? Oh, you're all sorted?
You sure?
Timmy played with Fui, and Fui, everyone believed he couldn't speak English. He was too smart. So he just didn't want to have to go to press conferences and talk to the media. He could speak perfect English. Anyway, we're back at training, and Fui said, because he's gone back home to Tonga, there's big monsoonal storms. I can't get out because there's only one ferry leaving from the island to get to the mainland to get to... I said, no worries. They looked on the weather map. It hadn't rained there in like 6 months. But he was the best Fui.
He's still playing. You know, he's still playing.
He's overseas?
He's playing... he's 40 and he's playing for...
Where's he still
overseas?
Someone in
Division 2 in England.
Is that
right?
English
comp, yeah.
Oh, hang on. Yeah, what...
We're playing against the Bulldogs at ANZ Stadium. And we had a shower after the game, and he takes his togs off, and a $5 note drops into the ground in the shower. I said, where's that from? And he just starts like chuckling to himself, giggling. He tells us a story that a $5 note was coming on the field. We put a kick in, and instead of chasing them with the team, the kick chase, he let us all down. He stays down, pretends to do his shoelace up, grabs the $5 note.
On the field.
Did you watch it? But you watched on the video.
On the video, yeah, come up on the video and the review. So one of the greats for you, my
Speaking of cult heroes, guys, we've got one on the line. It's Spider Everett. He's here for Play Up. Play Up is your best bet. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858. Spider, what's doing?
Oh, you guys would have played in the days where you used to be able to carry all the numbers or the horses you backed in your sock, because they used to have the results on the scoreboard, and you used to be able to run around to find out if you backed a winner or not. So yes, that was the best part about the old scoreboards.
I remember those days, Fitch, yeah.
Hey, Spider, who are some of the big cult heroes from the AFL days and the VFL days?
Oh, look, when you're looking at some of the cult heroes back in the day, you look at, people that wear the headbands. What about Brucey Dool, the flying doormat at Carlton?
He had no hair, did he, but Spider?
He had no hair, a little bit at the back, and he used to wear a headband, and they ripped it off. He ripped his headband off one day, and it was like he'd gone tropper. He just started throwing punches left, right, and centre. So it was always a mission to try and get his headband off. But all our cult heroes come up forward, like Tony Lockett and these kind of fellas. They're all the... Because in those days, you used to be able to... Because, in AFL, you try and... You follow your full forward. So you'd have 10,000 spectators go from one side of the ground all the way to the other side of the ground just following the full forwards.
And there was that Hawthorn 80s team, which had, like, John Platten, Michael Tuck.
Dunstall was in there.
Dunstall, Dermy, Dipper.
Bacanara. Yeah, Gary Bacanara.
What about Dipper? Dipper, like this, and if you know Dipper, this is the thing that gets me. Unfortunately, he sent the wrong card to his girlfriend, not his wife, over the Christmas period. But the thing that gets me is I can't believe that there's two girls interested in Dipper. It amazes us.
That's what happens when you win 5 premierships in the Brownlow, I guess. Still got it.
Yeah, exactly right. And funny story about that is the fact that Gary Ablett, probably one of the greatest full forwards of all time, he got sacked out of Hawthorn, went to Geelong, played 200-odd games, one of the greatest, never played in the grand final. Hawthorn went on and played in 5-night, 5-day grand finals. He missed a lot.
Oh, what are the chances? All right.
Yeah, what are the chances?
Spider, Saturday, NRL, kicking off in Wagga, Raiders Knights. What do you got for us?
Yeah, look, the Raiders, they've just gone out a little bit, $1.49. The Knights are at $2.62, but... $1.05 is for Ricky to blow up at some stage. Please, Ricky. We only ever watch the highlights to see the Ricky blow up press conference, so we'll cop that. And the Knights, the Lions at 5.5. And look, when you're looking at first try scorers, Rapana's at $8. And Bailey, my favourite name to say, Simonson is at 12.
All right, we've got two other games today. We've got Tigers-Titans, Broncos-Cowboys. What can you tip us into?
Yeah, well, the Tigers, look, this is a danger game for the Titans. I reckon the Titans should get over the line, and at the moment the line's at 4.5. But David Fifita, first goal, $12, to score a try at $2.30. He scored 3 a couple of times this year, so that's good money for me.
Nice. Let's move from the Steedon to the Sherrin. We've got the Swannies down against the D's at the G. How are they looking?
I'm at the ground at the moment. The Suns are running out against the Saints. You can hear the theme songs in the background. I tell you what, it's a plethora of football this weekend. I'm loving it. But Sydney at $3.50, Melbourne $1.32. I'll definitely take Sydney at the line plus 22.5 at $1.92. Sydney will never get smashed, and if not, they'll win. And Tom Papley to kick the first goal at $10. So
Are the D's that good, Spider? The D's that good this year?
Oh, you know what? I'd like to say no, but when you're sitting on top of the ladder, I really haven't got a case, have I? So
Can they win the comp?
I don't think they can win the comp. Nah, no. I think there's a couple of other teams in front of them. But you know what? For them to even to make the 8 and the 4 will be good for footy, but at the same time, I don't reckon they can win it. But Christian Petrarca, their best player, I reckon he can win the Brownlow for sure.
Nice. Beauty. There.
Awesome, Spider. Thanks very much for your time. Enjoy the G, or wherever you are today.
We're at Metricon, 27 degrees, not a cloud in the sky up here on the Gold Coast. It's beautiful, and it's a great day for footy.
Nice one, mate. So Spider, he was brought to us by PlayUp. PlayUp is your best bet. Bet now at playup.com.au. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Gentlemen, you mentioned Dipper there. Now, Dipper, I actually, luckily enough, caught up with Dipper during the week, and he shared a story about roommates. So Gary Ablett was mentioned in that as well. It was Gary Ablett, wasn't it?
Yes.
Oh, no, not Gary Ablett. Who was the other blonde? Hawks
Dermot Brereton.
Dermot.
Good man.
So, Dermot's one of the greats. As you gentlemen know, is that when you're playing rugby league or other professional sports, you're showering all the time with your teammates, so it's a non-issue, right? And so being naked in front of your teammates is an absolute non-issue. Now, he's rooming with Dermy, right? And one's getting in the shower, one's getting out of the shower, you know. And so what Dipper's said, he said, listen, Dermy, he said, I reckon I can do more push-ups than you. He said, nah, no chance, Dipper. So they've had like a $20 bet. They've both slapped $20 on the top of the TV, and then they've got down, they're both in the raw, and they've just gone for a seat who could last as long, do as many push-ups as they can. So here they go, and they're, you know, 41, 42, 63, and they're just pounding away these push-ups, right? Neither refuses to give up. Anyway, next thing you know, right, you hear this.
House cleaning.
So Dipper gets up, he goes, we're going on with this, right? So Dipper goes to the door, opens the door, and he's just got his towel on, and the lady who answers the door, she can see in the background, and
he's
panting. Oh, no.
And then lying on the ground with nothing but a sheet on his dermy.
Oh, boy. The rumour mill went overtime.
Yeah. And they reckon when they went downstairs through the concierge, et cetera, you could hear him going, oh, that's the two over there. Anyway, have your say. 1-300-01-1170. Plenty of text messages coming through about cult heroes. How about Mark Tukey, beast player, says Cisco. Kerry Buckets Hensley says Rhino. Plenty more coming through as well. So have your say. 1-300-01-1170 is the call line, the text line. 0457-736.
Olsen Filipana, he was another one, wasn't he?
Olsen Filipana, absolutely. Wally Lewis, of course, when it comes to State of Origin. This is Crunch Time, thanks to Red Rooster and Isuzu. Red Rooster's crunchy fried chicken available at selected restaurants. Brett Finch in the house. Paul Siren in the house, and Sam Bacow a nominee as well there, Finchie. We'll take a break, and we're getting your calls and texts after this little break here now. Welcome back. We're about to gear up for the game. Thanks to Dometic, everything you need for adventures, big or small, mobile living made easy. Dometic, I tell you what, the Dometic Eskies are you beaut if you're going away and you're into your camping, etc. G'day, men. A cult hero in Queensland Rugby League in the 70s was Fonda Matassa.
Oh, yes.
Tom.
Yes.
What about Smoking Joe Kilroy?
Smoking Joe Kilroy. He was up there as well.
The cheese we spoke about.
Barry Gomesall.
He had his own cult.
Have you ever heard the story about Fonda Matassa?
No.
So Fonda Matassa was
Scotty
a player.
Scotty Sattler, by the way.
Hello,
Sats.
Fonda Matassa was, he used to only ever play on the grandstand side. He's an outside back. And one day he got knocked out or injured. Yeah. And back then they used to drive the ambulance on the field. And this is at Lang Park. Drive the ambulance on the field. It's like the old Sandman. Remember the old Sandman? They'd open up the big door and they put him in the stretcher.
It's like a hearse.
Yeah. And as the ambulance is disappearing, just about to go off the corner of the field up the side of Lang Park, the back doors flew open and he come running back out onto the oval. All in like cougar stride.
Speaking about ambulances, being stretched off now, but he looks in good spirits. Is a young forward for the Newcastle Knights.
Paulo, Solo, isn't
Pasami,
it?
Pasami Solo. He's got the green.
Oh, he's got the whistle going.
He's happy on the whistle.
Yeah, and he's going into the ambulance right now. Yeah, so Scotty Sattler's here. Plenty of others coming through, by the way. Stan Jurd, Larry Corowa, and Sam Bacco, says JV. Johnny Elias was a cult hero for me, and my mates back in the early 90s comes through. Brandon Smith says Les from Point Cook. Tricky Trindle says Alexander from Paddington. So who are your cult heroes? 0457-736-736. Now, of course, you're here, Sats, looking fresh, brightly ready to go.
I'm not fresh.
Oh, you're not fresh?
I'm wounded.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm wounded.
What happened?
I just went for a couple of beers last night with a mate, and one turned into 15.
It does happen
15.
From time to time, Scott. Yeah. Us blokes do that.
Paul, I went to your old hood, the Sackville.
The Sackville down in Darling Street.
Yeah,
Tiger Town. Yeah, well, you can come unstuck down there.
I do love those Sats is your brutal honesty, right? And, and our listeners, some of our listeners are dealing with your same pain right now.
Yeah,
they've had an intention for an early night last night, which was the case for you.
Yep.
And sometimes you're having a good time, And at that time, it feels like the right thing. I was in a similar scenario last night at a mate's farewell where these young punks were doing this thing called the Wizards, right? So what the, have you ever seen the Wizard?
No.
No? Yes. So the Wizard is
a drinking game or something?
Yeah, they have the drinks and then they tape on the next drink and then the next drink. And then, so you might have the colour yellow. So you're the yellow Wizard, right? And you might have the colour green and you're the green Wizard. And the whole idea, which is not drinking responsibly, is that they get these drinks to almost their height. So it's called, you're aware of the Wizards. Alex knows all about it.
The staff.
Them? How do you drink them?
They call it the staff.
The staff. Well, you, the Wizard has its staff.
Yeah.
So you tape the cans together, right? And then you're carrying around your Wizardly.
Did they used to play that in Wimpy as well? At Leichhardt?
Not likely, mate. We didn't stack them that high. We just that's everywhere across the floor.
Now you are here for this game. The Raiders take on the Knights. Timmy Manor is there, and he turned up with his coffees and all those sorts of things. But what I'm fascinated by, Sats, the loser of this game is under the absolute pump.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. I think, I mean, Adam O'Brien even admitted publicly that they're not getting it right at Newcastle at the moment. We don't know what's going on at Canberra. I mean, from the outside looking in, you think there's cracks starting to appear, but I'm a huge fan of Ricky Stewart. So we don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but all the signs are saying that there's something wrong down there. Now, people that I've spoken to who are close to the inside camp, they said, no, that he's rattling the cage. He needs to rattle the cage because, yes, they haven't won a comp, but you just can't think everything's going along swimmingly. He's just rattling the cage a little bit and see who comes out in the end.
Hey, boys, isn't it? It's quite devilish in many ways, but when you've got a mate who's running uphill with a backpack full of bricks, cement gumboots on, and they've had a rough night, and you're just fresh as, you feel a lot better, don't you?
Well, you know what is good for me, because that was always me.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's so glad it's not me, you know. I'm the one in trouble.
I've been in the Hurt Locker a few times myself. And actually, you're sure.
The Hurt Locker.
How?
Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee.
What was his favourite drink? Water! Bruce Lee, it's his favourite drink. It's very appropriate to be wearing that. You probably need a few waters now, Sats.
It wasn't Sats' favourite drink last night. Maybe vodka water.
Bit of yeast and hops in it too.
So how do we help him through the day, boys? Any suggestions?
Mate, you got to get back on it. Yeah. Hair of the dog.
I've never been good at that.
There's
I've
only
never
one
been
way
good
out of it, and that's get straight back on it.
He's speak to a pro over there too. I dare say.
That's exactly right. Raiders versus... Have you got a tip in this game early on, Sats?
I reckon Raiders easy.
Yeah, Sean the Trader, he thinks the Raiders easy as well.
Yeah. So 13 plus.
13 plus.
Yep.
A nice little crowd building at Wagga too, by the way, where the Raiders have scored. Hey,
you talk about sore heads, there'd be plenty of sore heads down there in Wagga.
Oh.
It's been a big weekend down there.
Town Plate Thursday, Gold Cup yesterday, into the footy today.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Only the Poor best old. Are still surviving down there now.
Have you ever done it, Ciro?
Oh, yeah, several times.
The Wagga Cup.
Poor old Dave Barney, he'll be down to his last, what, 10 million down there now, Barney? And Barney, you go, Barney, how are things down? How's the pub going? Yeah. Just breaking even, mate.
Oh,
we're just breaking even.
Oh.
He's the world's best.
Oh,
yeah.
I tell you what, the world's best. He's pub, right?
William Farrah,
right?
Great pub.
It has the best crumbed cutlets you've ever had in your life. They are outstanding, which is probably what we need to order for you. That would be, what would be your ideal tonic?
Right now?
Yeah.
Kilo rack of ribs.
That would make... I have actually got some...
Lamb chops.
Lamb chops in there for you.
Lamb cutlets. Yeah. 60 hey, bucks a kilo. Hello.
What about Sugar yesterday? I walk in and he's got this beautiful plate with his nice fresh chicken and some salad.
Yeah.
I went, healthy Sugar? He goes, I'm just trying to lose a bit of weight. So we're calling the game last night. He walks in and he's inhaled a pie within 30 seconds before going back on air.
Yeah.
Could I just go back to Dave Barnhill? So... About 5-6 years ago, I'm the manager for the city side, and we played in Wagga. Anyway, Barney gives us a call. We get down there, get down there for the 4 or 5 days leading in the game. He goes, mate, you want to come over? We'll put a feed on at the pub. I thought, that's fantastic, Barney. Very generous of you. So the whole team went over, went to town, ate, staff stayed back, a few drinks, had a really good night.
Got the bill?
An invoice turns up. New South Wales Rugby League about 2 weeks later.
Stop it.
Got us, Barney.
Oh, Barney.
Too smart. Too
you know
smart
what?
Now, Barney.
He sits there he just had drinks light these days, Barney.
On the mid, he's done this.
Yeah, the mid lights. Yeah, out there at the
mid. It's a great pub.
Great pub.
Yep.
Absolute great pub. And they've got a big punters club out there and It's all happening. So the Knights preparing for the Raiders. Now, we might just keep you here for this part here, Satsy. Brought to you by the powerful 3-litre turbo diesel Isuzu D-Max. No matter the adventure, the Isuzu D-Max is born to live. What's your Saturday standout today, Ciro? What would you like to see happen today?
Tigers. Tigers. We're smoky today. We'll get the Titans. We'll get them out there. It's a Tommy Rodonigus round.
Yeah,
We're playing in the black and white, the old Magpie strip.
Embarrassed last time.
In honour of Tommy. At Leichhardt Oval. So, mate, there's a real steal around on it this week at training, mate. So I reckon they'll... And the Titans, they're under the pump a little bit too, mate. But I reckon they're a good thing. The Tigers, so if you've got a little bit of spare stuff...
Yep.
Gamble responsibly.
Most importantly. What about anything in the ponies? You like anything today?
Well, I do have a good mate of mine who's a wheelhouse.
Oh.
And there is a filly or what is it? What sort of horse is it? A mare or...
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a horsey. It's running up at Gosford in the big race up there, wheelhouse.
Okay.
What about Reynolds, the horse today?
I know.
Yeah.
Is it running
Joel
today?
Joel and I have seen that, yes.
We're aligned. Running. We're very aligned. Our tips must float around in similar circumstances. So Reynolds, ironically, has been the talking point in rugby league. Reynolds, of course, Adam Reynolds is number 7. Well, in a big race down there in Adelaide today,
is it race
6, number 7, Reynolds.
Yeah.
It's not named Reynolds after.
No, I don't think so.
After, probably not.
No. I don't think so.
We're saying it is.
Oh, yeah.
But if you look at Cronulla, I found
after
the name.
Kurt Reynolds, he's named
Josh Reynolds.
Josh Reynolds. That might be the case as
Who's
well.
Who's your Cronulla, mate?
For an omen. This is no form at all, but there's, you know, he's been topical. Clubs are looking after. There's a horse number 4 called Splash Some Cash. So they're looking to splash some cash. It'd be a good time to
And
be
your
unreal.
Horse was beaten yesterday.
Oh,
you and Jimmy's
travesty.
Horse was beaten yesterday by a horse called...
Travesty.
Kuro Kane.
Kuro Kane.
Yeah.
Oh.
See, there's signs everywhere.
Kuro Kane. Yeah, exactly right. What are you looking forward to Finchie today? What would you like to see?
I want to see my new favourite winger in the competition, Zaccasini, crash over. And I just want to see his mate. That footage of his mates going nuts.
It was
gold, fantastic.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
It was awesome.
Wasn't the perfect hand, image, wasn't it?
He had the hand in the air. And he'll have that moment for the rest of his life. He's, you know, I just love blokes who don't give a rat's.
Yeah.
He's got the red hair, orange hair, it's in a mullet. And he's got the mo.
Yeah.
And he's a good player too. He's a good young kid, so... I'm a bit like Ciro. I think the Tigers are a good chance today, and I'd love to see him crash over for another meat pie.
If you're looking for a same-game multi, I think... you get the value, boys, with a same-game multi when you pick one way, but then you have a contradictory tip. For example, if we're tipping the Tigers, but then you take a Titans player to score... Mm-hmm. Now, Dewey's flying. He's having a great season. However, I've been studying his tape. On goal defence, the right-hand side for the Tigers hasn't been great.
No.
Who's the big left?
Fifita.
Fifita double.
Yeah, Fifita into the Tigers. I think that's a nice little same-game multi there. For me, I'm looking forward to the All-Queensland battle.
Mm.
The Broncos versus the
Cowboys.
What a big match. Just on Sini too. Ciro, have you had much to do with him? What's his background?
Not really much. No, he's a Penrith kid. Yeah,
is
so he was cut from there, and we picked him up a couple of years ago. But he's been plying his trade in the lower grades for the Magpies, mate. And he's
usually
a
fullback,
up.
Isn't he?
Yeah, fullback. Yeah. But he played the Australian Schoolboys 2018, I think.
Okay.
So there were some pretty handy sorts of types on that tour. And he's the leading try scorer he was on that trip. So mate, he's a fair player. So.
I was only thinking this, boys, about, you know, Penrith in more recent times and for a long time the Melbourne Storm, they just don't miss recruitment. So what a lot of people tend to do is they are buying from Penrith and the Melbourne Storm when the player's already value has gone through the roof.
Mm.
Wouldn't it be a good idea, which it sounds like the Tigers did with Zaccasini, to go through the Melbourne Storm roster and go, well this club don't miss.
Yeah,
pinch some of the youngsters.
Well, it's a bit, Melbourne are pretty good at identifying, like Harry Grant, Pappenhausen, these good young kids. They're 18 or 19 and they went after the best and then they backed their coaches to bring them through. And they back their coaching and the type of person it is too. If he's, as Ciro said earlier, a dickhead, you don't last too long in that club, you know what I mean? If they're a good young kid willing to work hard, you know, they believe they've got the coaching in place down there to bring them through and get the best out of them.
And that's what some clubs don't have. Don't have robust development systems and pathways because they just say, like the Roosters, they don't have a junior league base. There's arguments they should go and set up somewhere else, whether it's in a regional area and make that there. But you don't need to when you can just go and just pluck the kids out of somewhere else, because you don't have to pay any sort of development fees or to the club you're taking them from. Right. So why wouldn't you?
And that's the argument around from a couple of clubs. I mean, it was rather ironic that the bloke from Melbourne's been at the Broncos, Dave Donnie, said,
Broncos,
don't take our Xavier coach.
The Broncos, their junior base has been a whole state for 30 years. Gordie's, Townsville, Darius Boyd's Gold Coast. Yeah. A lot, they've just had the choice of a state, and now they're struggling. It's like, hands off our players. Hang on, please. Give me a spell.
Hey, Satsy, we're talking about cult heroes. Yeah. I said to Ciro, the great Balmain team, if they were all lined out on a table and fans could line up and get their card signed or scarf signed, whatever the case may be, hats, etc., which player would have the longest line? He said, definitely Junior Pearce. Your premiership team of 2003, the Panthers, you're all decked out on a table and the fans can just go and get autographs. Which player from that team would have the longest line?
Ryan Girdler.
Really?
Oh. When I first came to Sydney...
What about Pig? Pig would have been Gowie?
You're not allowed to call him Pig anymore, Brett? You're not allowed to call him Pig?
Mr. Gower.
He's one of the greats, Gowie. Did he make that rule?
No, since he had children and he's got a beautiful little family his beautiful wife Amanda says, please don't call him Pig. mate, Ryan Girdler, when I first went to Sydney, growing up on the Goldie and played 5 years at the Titans and the Seagulls there. Chargers and the Seagulls. Then I went to Penrith. It was my first really sort of foray into a player that walks through a shopping centre.
Star factor.
Yeah.
Yeah, like walking through his Penrith Plaza and people like following him from shop to shop. I was like, what's going on here? What's going on? Like, it's just Gerds. Like, he couldn't sit down and have lunch without people walking up and just sitting there and staring.
I know we're running out of time. Yeah. I know we're out of time. Same thing happened with Andrew Eddinghausen. We're both in the Australian Catholic schoolboy side. We were going up to Newcastle for the schoolboy championships. With all 17. Got off the bus at McDonald's. We're all lined up. Six shields started punching each other to try and serve him. All the girls behind the McDonald's counter said, I want to serve him.
Oh, wow.
Oh, mate, it hasn't changed much.
Oh, wow.
E.T.
And Wayne Pearce, what about you? Who was the biggest cult following that you saw, Finchie, before we go?
When I was at the Roosters, it was Freddie, but Mini Minicello in that 03, 04, 05. He was hard
count,
to beat.
The count was good there.
He was hard to beat.
Every player
and
had a man crush.
Billy down at...
Every player had a man crush on Craig Wing.
Yeah.
That played
I've still got a poster on my wall at home.
Hey, our team in the West Tigers, there was no cult following. It was cult avoiding. We had Luke O'Donnell. We had Hopper. We had Filsy. We had Searsy.
Darren Senna.
It was just like cult avoiding. That's what we were.
Mate, this all belonged in a room with a padded wall. Mate, bunch of lunatics.
If you go and Google the first ever Tiger sign...
And you were awful to play against Terry Hill and Hopper. It was
niggle, wasn't it?
Getting hit off the ball.
Thank you very much. Amen. Thank you for staying in here panelling. Of course, Brooksy Brownie, our assistant producer out there in the back room. We appreciate your time, Brownie. Well done, son. Ciro, thank you. Sats, you're going to stay here.
Boys.
And Finchie, thank you very much. Crunch time. It's back on again next Saturday from midday to 2 o'clock. And may you have a winning weekend if you're having a punt and gambling responsibly, of course. For us here at 11:70, we are marching on. We've got the call coming up between the Knights and the Raiders, where the Newcastle Knights in the reserve grade, the knock-on effect cup, have just scored to make it 16 points to 10 with a kick to come. 25 minutes remaining in that. Stay with us right here. SEN 11:70. We're going nowhere. The Raiders and the Knights coming up after this.